Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
But it's to understand that His love for us so it brings us again to this place to yield to His Spirit, not to conform to this world. Let Him transform us, seeing Christ clear in His Word, in our lives. Faith, grow. You're doing it now. Here, your faith is growing. Oh, did you hear yourselves worshiping this morning? It speaks of a heart of desire to put Him in His proper place. And when we put Him in His proper place, then we automatically are put in our proper place. Now, knowing this, look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Being many, we form one body, and that body is Christ. Even though we are individuals, we never lose our individuality. We are who we are. It's not like you're growing into some Narvanya or Nirvana, that you're just kind of in this one spirit, and we all just have this absent-minded. No, you can think, you can feel. God created you as an individual. But now in the body of Christ, these individual members form one body. And that body is Christ's. Many members, we don't have the same function as a body. We are joined together, forming the body of Christ. We're different. You and I, we have to be. Can you imagine some of you who have daughters that your daughter brings home her boyfriend and she brings him in a bowling bag? And then when dinner comes, she basically pulls out the bag. She sets his head on the table and says, "Hey, it's my boyfriend." He's all head. No shoulders. Actually, no arms, no legs, nothing else. And he says, "Hello, hi, how are you?" And they ask their daughter, "How's he going to eat at the table?" "Oh, I feed him." "How does he get around?" "Well, I walk him around." "How's he going to go to work?" "He works at the computer." "He works at the computer. How's he hit the keyboards?" "It's all mind." Now, you say that's ludicrous, but sometimes that's what we think. The body of Christ has to be one thing. We're all one thing, right? But see, here's the beauty of it. God has created us as all individuals. And in this individuality, He has created one body. And that body is His, that He uses us to function for purposes that bring Him glory, that bring Him honor. Why? Because He's an egotistical God? No, because He is worthy. He is a worthy God. That His worthiness it just completely mystifies us. Because His perfection, His humility, go to the cross. This is the God we worship, that He humbled Himself to die for us. He is worthy of our love and our affection. He is good. And now in that, He forms this body to exemplify those truths. See, when Jesus went to heaven, His Spirit was sent to the church, that His Spirit would be in you and me, everyone. See, we all have God's Spirit in us if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now it's His Spirit that now works in us together as one, as a body, so that we now can do the things that Christ did. We are His hands, we are His feet, as they say. That we are the ones that now have the listening ear. We are the ones that He uses our eyes to see so we would have compassion. You and I, all of us. Now, in a body, again, we can't all be the head. We have different functions. In fact, He's going to go into some of that. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, gifts differing, varying according to the grace given to us. God is the giver of the gifts. By his grace, not us. What are we given? What are they given for? What is it? We talked about prophecy, but before we go there, I just want you to look at this. For four reasons, God gives these different gifts for the body. Okay? We'll find some of these, three of these, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. If you want to turn there, you can, or I can just read it. I'll give you a second to decide as I drop. No. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the reason is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. It's to equip us to do the work of Christ. One. Number two, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So all these gifts, again, are equipping for the ministry, but also building up his body. Encouraging each other, we'll look at. Talking to each other, ministering to each other, worshiping together. As we've come together, as we worship, Christ is in this place, manifesting himself, touching your heart where it needs to be touched, speaking to you as we open the Word of God. It's what you need to hear. Sometimes what we don't want to hear. Why? Because again, to encourage and to strengthen us, to remind us this is not our home. Then it goes on to say, till we all come to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are built up to be perfect in Christ. The varying gifts are again, equipping for the ministry, building up his body, but also, if you will, glorifying him. When people see you, do they see Christ? The fourth one I'm going to take from 1 Peter chapter 4, and this time I'll just read it. As each, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The gifts are given so that God in all things would be glorified through Christ Jesus. And not you. Not me. Christ is to be glorified in everything that is said and done, especially here. It's no special thing that one of us has above the other, because who are we to say what God has given us to do at this time? Trust me, things do change. And we'll talk about that in a second too. So understanding these things, that God has done all these things and he has done them well. If you notice, the gifts are not an exhaustive list. If you want to look at others, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about 1 Peter chapter 4. There are other parts of the Bible. I think they think there's about 19 different gifts, but that's not the point of this message. Again, he's given us a short summary of these gifts so that we can see this for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, what about the gifts of prophecy? What does that mean? Now, it can mean foretelling. It can. A lot of the scripture was foretelling. Again, showing the heart and mind of God. Expressed to others. It is talking about the future. But if you'll notice, you have a Bible. It is complete. There's no addition to it. What you have is complete. And if somebody says, I have now a new revelation, don't listen. It's just a bunch of gibberish. And as scripture says, if you add to his word, it's not a good thing. You with me? Now, can somebody foretell something? Can God actually give them that gift? Yes, they can. But, big disclaimer, people seem to like to say it a lot. And it really does take a lot of discerning on your part and my part. Because a lot of people will say, thus says the Lord. Now, we had a great example the last 4 years. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a lot of people that have said, well, the Lord spoke to me and this is what's going to happen. Since COVID-19, a lot of this has been expressed. Now, I listened to a few of these and I'm going to tell you something very simply. They didn't come to pass. That's the discernment. They don't come to pass, then it's not God. It's somebody, again, putting too much importance upon themselves, maybe their feelings or maybe their intuition. But the scripture says this in Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of them. It's not of God. Now, I've had that experience. A few times people would actually say something and it did come to pass. I remember one time in a prayer group, somebody was barren and another person said, you know, I really feel that the Lord is telling me to tell you that you're going to have a few kids. And guess what? The person had a few kids. So God does use that, but it's not to glorify any individual. Understand that. It's for the edifying of the body, building it up, encouraging it, and glorifying Christ. So that person that heard that word and saw it come to pass, all they can do is just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, did that person then go on to be this great prophetic ministry? No. I'm going to give you this as an example because the person then went too far. And we talked about this later because then they said something else that didn't come to pass. And my belief was, is God again saying, just say what I tell you, nothing else. And it's discerning, learning to what I sense and what God is speaking. And if you will, because of our self-esteem, and our pride, and our foolishness, sometimes we take it too far, or sometimes it's just innocently done. And we have to be very careful. So when you feel like you have the prophetic ministry of somebody saying something to somebody, pray it through. God be glorified. But I still want you to understand something. Do not put God in a box. People that say God doesn't do prophetic things anymore, that's not true. But I have learned something over the years. God is very careful in those extra gifts that we call the spiritual gifts because of man. We're very good at abusing things. If somebody comes on, and this has happened several times, if somebody prays over somebody and that person's healed, and then for some reason God uses the same person one more time, now he thinks he's got this healing ministry. Come one, come all, come be healed. And are all healed? No. Why? Because, again, they overstep the bounds. It takes discernment. It takes understanding. Who's being glorified here? What's the purpose of this? Is it for edifying the body? Equipping the saints? Is it to bring him glory and praise and honor? And these are things we constantly have to watch out for. But, again, in freedom and in grace. Because even if, again, something is said that you thought was the Lord and it was wrong, and you understand it was wrong, then there's grace. God forgives. And hopefully we learn from our mistakes. Now, ministry, verse 7, the next one he speaks of. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Now, that word ministry is basically, if you will, serving. A servant. Serving the body, which officially you can say are pastors, deacons, elders. But remember, we just read in Ephesians that we're all equipped to serve in the ministry. Different, but we're all equipped to serve. To serve one another. We serve here. You serve here. The chairs are put up. That's service to the Lord. That's so small. That's just, no. In God's economy, we'll talk about that. It's serving is putting out the chairs. Serving is picking up the chairs. Serving is getting communion ready. Serving is making coffee. Serving is putting the box over there because we always seem to forget. Serving is doing whatever it is to, again, to equip the body, to edify it, to build it up. The function of the body. Just think if the body yourself was, you know, I'm going to take a shower and your arm says, you know what, I'm not into that right now. You look pretty funny trying to wash yourself with your feet. See, again, it's to, again, work together with whatever it takes, whatever movement God has called us to do, to move together. We may move out of here. I'm not trying to get everybody excited, but it could happen. And then that would present other things that we'd have to serve in. Who's going to take care of the lawn? Who's going to paint the wall? Again, when we just see it as a building, though, we've missed it. When we just see it as a space, we miss it. It's to understand that everything you do unto the Lord is service to the Lord and to His body. So, whatever you're doing, serve. In the faith that God has given you. For His purpose. For His glory. For everything that He has called you to do. If you're teaching in the Sunday school, then do it unto the Lord. We have somebody that does the website for us. Praise God. Something less that Caleb has to do. Whatever it is, do it unto the Lord wholeheartedly. Some of you are very consistent in helping tear down. You're serving the Lord. It's not for me to give you praise. It's Him up there looking at you going, that's my boy, that's my girl. Not expecting any pat on the back. Any praise from anybody else, but just doing it unto the Lord. So, he who teaches and teaching. Teach. Do you have the gift of teaching? Then teach. Teach. Doesn't matter who. Teach Sunday school. Do you have that gift? Then teach. Oh, but they're not adults. I mean, you know, sometimes they throw things back at you and stuff. No, it's the gift of teaching. It's learning to communicate simple, godly truths that are so profound that you can sit them down for the kiddies to grasp. That is a gift. See this bozo? Bozo here. Yes, it's me. I remember sitting in congregation like you, wondering what I can do to serve the Lord. And this guy comes out and goes, we need Sunday school teachers, please. And I sensed the Lord say, there you go. I want you to teach. That's where I began. Third grade. I'll never forget it. I learned something. See, I learned how to communicate profound truths to kids. I learned to keep their attention. And you're saying you've lost that gift because we're all nodding off right now. Then thinking, okay, now I've graduated. Now I can go into adults. Nope. I went from third grade to junior high. I went from the pan to the fire. Seriously. Because now I had to watch everything I did and said, or not only I'll lose them, I could get some hecklers. You learn by teaching. If you have the gift to teach, then teach. The Lord, again, we'll see, is just looking for availability, not ability. God's got that. You see a need in the body? Pray about it. Pray if you can help with that to build it up, to help equip it, bring glory to Christ. Now, if you notice, the next one is exhort. Exhorts is to call one aside, to comfort, to encourage, to instruct, to pray. It happens here. You do it all the time. I'm not going to boast about you, but I'm in for a second. If you notice, I used to go out there among you and talk to you and everything. Now you're going to notice I sit there and I just watch. Oh, not on that, because it says do not sit. Okay, I do sit on that, but you're not supposed to sit on that. But that's another story. But you know why I stand back now? I just am blessed because I watch you minister to each other. See, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I have to go up to everybody and go, how are you doing? Do I need to pray for you? You look like you're sad. No, that's what you're supposed to do too. We're ministers, each of us. It's not all on me. If it's all on me, we're all helpless and hopeless. Because there's only one of me, but there's many of you. Now you begin to understand something. Not that Christ is helpless because he's never helpless, but he wants to use us because then he spreads us out. But see, that's what we do. We exhort, encourage. The other day I saw somebody praying with a group of people. Other people are just listening to hearts, encouraging, giving out scripture. That's ministering to the body. That's exhorting. That's encouraging. That's coming alongside. You're doing that. And it's wonderful for me as a pastor to see. Next one is gives. Supports financially. Notice the word liberality. It means sincerely. Not giving to get, not giving to be noticed, not giving to influence. And I have to say, and that's all of you, that you don't. I should say, you don't do that. I appreciate that. Now, he who leads, he's set over. Set over to whatever ministry you're doing. Whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's communion, whether it's setting up the chairs, whatever you're setting up, whatever you put in the leadership of, then do it. And it says do it diligently, but means give attention to it. Don't just wing it. Are you winging Sunday school? Are you taking the time to look into it, to read, to learn it yourself, to learn it yourself so that you can give it out? Now, notice the next one is mercy. Mercy is helping others. But notice, do it cheerfully. Oh, that's something different. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, it is. I mean, you know, you can be merciful and you can serve one another. But it comes to a point. Like if somebody comes up to you again and says, hey, can I borrow your car one more time? Or whatever it is. Can you help me with this? I can't quite get this up down from my shed. Or me, pretty soon I'm going to be asking people, can you come over and get this out of from my attic? Because I'm drawing attention to myself because it's really weird for me, but my knees are really getting bad. I just am amazed how bad they've gotten in the last 3 months. I could see my body start deteriorating. And it's just a really natural thing. And it's hard for me to ask for help. Giving you a little personal thing. It's just because I was always taught, do it unless you can't do it. And then you ask. You say, but you can't do it. I go, well, I can still get up there. But see, eventually I'll be asking you people. And see, the thing is that's the problem. Is then I'm going to feel guilty. Like, oh, I got to call them again. But I can't get it down. Or I can't do this. It's coming. It comes to all of us. But see, the thing is, it sounds like I'm setting this up. So if I call you guys to come over, do it cheerfully. No, that's not what I meant. But see, you get the idea, though. You do something over and over again for people, then you start getting old. You know, when we first started this, we had to help a lot of people move. I know Caleb and I did a lot. And it came to a point we were both tired of helping people move. I mean, it did a lot. Trust me, it was a lot at first. But at the same time, we did make it through there because I think we did it pretty cheerfully, didn't we? We did. We were getting tired. But at the same time, see, it's still to be able to do that even if it kept going. Kept doing. Because it's the attitude, it's unto the Lord. To do it unto you, Lord. This is what I do unto you. Why? Why do we do these things? What's the purpose of doing these little things? Well, you just said it. It's encouraged, edified, build up, bring glory to Christ. Yes. See, as it says in Colossians 3:17, it says, do whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. No matter what you do, do it unto Him. But sometimes we feel like, man, just little things. These little things, do they really mount up to anything? Well, Jesus gave us an example. See, the disciples kept arguing, which one's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Which one of us? So Jesus, really, if you will, during the Last Supper, He went around and washed their feet. Understand, only a servant, a low servant, washes feet. But Jesus went around and washed their feet. Then He said, do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Oh, did I mention Jesus is God? If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If Jesus went around washing stinky feet, if Jesus did something so humbling, why is it so hard for us? Oh, it's because we think highly of ourselves. I got another passage for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that many were wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, redemption, that is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. See, again, it's seeing Him clear. And that's what we like to do here as we open the Word. To see Him. Because of Him, you've been justified. Because of Him, you've been redeemed. Because of you, because of Him, He has set you apart. Because of Him, you are made holy. You are sanctified. Because of Him, He has said, you are worthy because I say so. I put My name on you. You are Mine. But it's not because of what you think. Just imagine. Imagine that you, I don't know. I know me and crafts. I was always terrible at it. But just think that you made something. Made like, I don't know, I remember we used to make these clay things and we'd bake them. And, you know, everybody looked like, oh, look, it looks like a dinosaur. This one, oh, it looks just like a doll. Oh, this one, it looks just like a car. And they go, oh, that's really good, Luke. I see you made a snake. That's all I could do. Put two eyes in it and put it in the baking oven. Now, just think if that was you and that you did that. You created the snake and you're like, oh, look at me. I made the snake. It's so good. My snake's the best. I can eat your dinosaur. Arr, 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 arr. And I put the emphasis on me and my snake. And yet the snake is terrible. But see, my eyes is great. Now, it's a terrible example, but still, hey, snakes. look whose hand you're in. And understand when He's forming it, what you see on the outside is not what's happening on the inside. Because everything He makes, perfect. You and I shall be perfect. The ministry that He's called us to do is again to encourage each other about the work that He is doing in our lives, in the lives of others. So there is no little things in God's economy. When Jesus did the parable about those and gave talents to, if you remember right, He gave one five, one two, one one, right? One five and two, they went out and just did what they were supposed to do. And He said this to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord." Now, to the one that would not do anything, one that only had one talent, He didn't say, "Oh, I understand. You only had one and you didn't know what else to do with it. I get it." No, He says this to them, "You wicked and lazy servants." I need to go on. Because see, when we take what we have, when we take what He has given to us and give it back to Him, then all the possibilities have now become open. All the power of God now is working in through your one little talent. So what that does is it expands, explodes, and implodes everything else. Because when God has it, now the possibilities are endless. So anyone that says, "But I only have one," you never know when you plant that one, what the Creator of all addition does with it. What are you doing with it? He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. What God does is He gives you something to do, and now He watches. Are you going to be faithful? "But Lord, it's every week. Can't somebody else do it?" Are you faithful in it? Because see, if I can trust you in this little thing, then I have so much more that I will give you, because I can trust you in the little thing. So it's whatever we do for His glory, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We're not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 6:9. So what does this bring us to? Where's your mind? Oh, isn't it supposed to be? Yes, it is. "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself. He made Himself a servant, obedient to death." So Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." This is all I have, but I give it to you. Remember the widow with the two mites? I always love this picture. It's not about money. I know people think it is, but it's not. It has something to do with it too. Jesus, I just picture Him. Because see, there was a box. There really was a cone. And what they did was they threw their offering. And a lot of times, like people with a lot of money, you know how it is. throw it in there and blow the horn. Look how much I'm giving. Clink, clink, clink. You ever see that? If you tip somebody, if you put a lot of change in it, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not, right? You know, it makes a lot of noise. Well, again, everything was coins back then. So everything's thrown in there. So you can imagine this loud noise. Look how much I'm giving. Da, da, da. So all these people, oh, that's great. And this guy's probably walking out and people slapping on the back. Man, that was a lot. You did really good. That the Lord's just checking this out. And this widow comes up. And she just gives two small coins. And it's all she had. The Lord says, she has given more than all. What little thing do you have? Give it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word is truth. Lord, we ask, first of all, for your forgiveness as we hold things back. Lord, but also we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your word. Your word is truth. We thank you for the endless possibilities of things in your hands. We also come acknowledging and recognizing that everything that is given to us for it really to come to fruition or to blessing must be given back to you, including our lives. Lord, we just pray as we've learned these things once again in your word that, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that you would change, Lord, the way we think, the way we feel. That we would be obedient to what you have given us to do. Not for our glory, not for our purpose, but for yours. That you would use us to edify, to encourage, to strengthen your body, that you may be glorified in all these things. And Lord, that we would understand that whatever we do have, whatever gift we have, whether it be spiritual or natural, there's no boasting. You gave it. And as for our faith, it's the right measure. But all we need to do is to see you in our faith and things become clear to us of who you are and your goodness. And lo and behold, our faith then grows in you. Nothing to be boastful about except boasting in our Lord. God forbid that we would boast in anything else but you. And what you have done for our salvation and for our lives. Bless this body, Lord. Use it for your purpose. Be the head. That's one thing we didn't talk about. You are the head of this body, Lord. You are the one that directs everything. And may it always be so. And let us, your servants, continue to serve and not grow weary. Bless, Lord, the hands that you have made. Bless this church, wherever you send her. Let her be for your praise, your honor, and your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.